darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment, let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
And happy hump day, folks. This is Matt Barber in for Abe Hamilton again today. It is Wednesday. We are halfway through the work week. I'm looking forward to a beautiful weekend here in sunny Colorado Springs, Colorado, where I am broadcasting live to you. I am the co-founder and general counsel of Christian Civil Rights Watch. Encourage you to visit our website at truecivilrights.org, truecivilrights.org. And we are a group of Christian attorneys and public policy experts that are working to restore Christian civil rights here in the United States. It's the civil rights struggle of our time. As we know, cultural Marxists, church state separatists, progressive anti-Christian religious segregationists, and LGBT sexual anarchists, alongside CARE and other anti-Christian and anti-Semitic radical Islamic organizations, the Muslim Brotherhood and others, are looking to trample on our religious liberties here in the United States of America. And at Christian Civil Rights Watch, we're having none of it. Again, encourage you to visit our website, truecivilrights.org. Well, it was a big deal last week when in Israel, the United States opened its embassy in Jerusalem, the true and eternal capital of the state of Israel. And of course, the Arab world and the progressive left were up in arms, and like clockwork, and as we expected, Hamas employed Palestinian terrorists and enlisted their people to try to charge the border there of Gaza and invade a sovereign nation, the state of Israel, with Molotov cocktails, with guns, with violence, with bombs, with everything possible, cutting through the fence and the wire to try to attack and kill, as Hamas does so well, innocent Israeli men, women, and children. So Israel defended herself, as she has the perfect right and really duty to do, to protect her own sovereign citizens there in the state of Israel who were under attack from Islamic terrorists. And they defended themselves, and sadly, I believe the final number was 62 Palestinians were killed. And even now, Hamas acknowledges that the vast majority of them, upwards of 52, were Hamas terrorists were charged with doing just that, with attacking the border, penetrating into a sovereign Israel and killing innocent men, women, and children, Israeli men, women, and children. So a day that should have been a day of celebration, a blessed day, falling on the 70th anniversary of the state, the renewal of the state of Israel after centuries, Hamas and the Arab world attacked. And the pro-Palestinian website Haaretz.com reported on this, and they reported that subsequently, as we should not be surprised, the anti-Semitic United Nations human rights body, they called for an international inquiry into who? Israel, of course, for defending herself. And fortunately, the United States and Australia blocked that ridiculous inquiry where they call evil good and good evil. And as Haaretz reported, the UN human rights body, and this was Friday of last week, called for this international inquiry into the state of human rights in East Jerusalem, the West Bank, and Gaza, calling out Israel for its killings of what they call protesters. These were rioters. These were terrorists. Protesters in the Strip. Jerusalem blasted the decision and the council as being biased against Israel. Well, duh, as it certainly was. The special session of the Human Rights Council was convened after the bloodiest day for Palestinians in years. It was a horrible thing to watch. It was a setup. It was staged, and the mainstream media here in the United States, the anti-Semitic mainstream media that sides with Hamas terrorists, sided with Hamas terrorists. They were all too happy to play right into the hand of Hamas, who acknowledged that is exactly what they were doing. This is Hamas, the Palestinian Authority, and other terrorist groups in the what they call Palestine, which is a non-existent state, a non-existent entity, but the left will call parts of Israel Palestine. We should not be surprised that they did this. But as I've often said in the past, and this is a couple things I want to focus on talking about today, Israel is the Palestinian people's greatest ally. As I've always said, Israel is not tame, but she is good. And of course, I'm borrowing from C.S. Lewis and his great series, the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, talking about Aslan, the lion, saying that Aslan was not tame, but he was good. He is good. And so I've often asked if a poacher shoots arrows at a pride of sleeping lions, you know, are the lions then to blame for waking up, for rousing, and then defending themselves? And what does it say about Hamas, about these Islamic terrorists? What does it say about a shooter of these lions standing on the edge when he intentionally cowers behind the skirts of his own women and daughters and hoping and indeed praying that children, that women, that these precious souls would inadvertently perish as a result of this attack? And I would say one calls him a coward, one calls him a fool, and one calls him a monster, or to borrow from President Trump, animals. And that's who these Hamas terrorists are, and that's who the leadership of Hamas is. And such are the men of Hamas and of Hezbollah and of the Palestinian Authority. They're terrorists. Islamic terrorists, all of them, anti-Semitic terrorists, who there were, you know, flags waving in the riots, Nazi flags with a swastika, praising Hitler, praising the Nazis for wiping out the Jews, and saying that, and people interviewed were saying they're going to do it again. That is what Hamas calls for. And how do you have a peaceful two-state solution when one side demands the death of Israel, the complete death of Israel and every Jewish man, woman, and child, and the other side just wants to live in peace and on their rightful lands and their rightful territory and have peace. And then, you know, we call people on the left, particularly Democrats and liberal, we have to have some kind of compromise. How do you compromise someone whose only solution and their only acceptable plan of attack, so to speak, is would result in your demise? You can't. And the U.S. has had a policy that we don't negotiate with terrorists, and yet that is what the liberal left wants us to do, to negotiate with these Hamas terrorists who are purposefully slaughtering their own citizenry. And we saw the announcements that were written in Arabic that came out, were released, calling for men, women, and children to go there and to be martyred, to attack, and they were instructed as to where there would, the Hamas terrorists, where there would be guns and weapons and so forth. So to call this a protest is you know, like calling the two bombs dropped by the Enola Gay in, you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that's like calling them firecrackers, right? So there are only two things to blame for the tragic loss of life that we saw last week in Gaza, notwithstanding the UN's continued efforts to blame the state of Israel for defending herself, there are only two things to blame. And these two things are this: Islam in general, okay, which calls for the slaughter of all Jews, all Christians, all infidels, anyone who is not Muslim. And so Islam in general and Hamas in particular. So there's absolutely no moral equivalency in this raging Gaza conflict and in the raising conflict between Arabic Muslim terrorists in the Middle East, particularly in Israel and in Jerusalem and elsewhere. There's no moral equivalency between them and what and the state of Israel. There is only good and evil. And Israel, though not perfect, folks, is good. Hamas is evil. Israel loves life and Hamas loves death. But you know, don't take my word for it. This comes straight out of the mouths of Hamas leadership themselves. As I found a quote as recently as 2008, Hamas MP Fadi Hamad, he was addressing the Jewish people, addressing the Jewish people betrayed Islam's, he kind of showed their cards. He betrayed Islam's empirically wicked strategy and stratagem when he proclaimed this. He said, "We desire death more than you desire life." He said that to the Israeli people, and that was on display. That philosophy was on display last week, as the United States, as much of the world, celebrated the 70th anniversary of the State of Israel, as well as the opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. Other countries are now following suit because we now have a president who, rather than his predecessor, rather than President Obama, who famously said that we're going to lead from behind. Well, you know, what do you call leading from behind? There's a word for that, following. So we had a follower in chief. Now we have a true leader, the leader of the free world, in President Donald Trump. So that was on display when Hamas intentionally placed men, women, and children and babies and amid their riots and their attacks on the Israeli border, hoping, again praying, that they would be killed so that our stupid, idiotic, fake news leftist media would tout their talking points, would try to blame it on Israel. There's nothing new under the sun, Scripture tells us. And certainly this is not a new event. Hamad, Fadi Hamad here, who I was quoting, he said, "Death for the Palestinian people has become an industry which the women excel at along with everyone else on this earth. The elderly excel at it. The jihadist fighters excel at it. And the children excel at it." Remember, if you die a martyr, according to Mohammedism, the scribblings of their prophet Mohammed, why then you get your 72 virgins in heaven and so forth. So he went on, therefore they, and that's he was talking about the Palestinian Authority, which includes, again, their cousin Hamas, their terrorist cousins, created a human shield of women, children, elderly, and jihadists to confront the Zionist bombardment machine, to say to the Zionist enemy, "We desire death just as you desire life." And the leader of Hezbollah at the time, Hassan Nasrallah, he concurred. He said, "We are going to win because they love life and we love death. Islam, a religion of death, folks." And so innocent men, women, children, Israeli and Palestinian alike, become the victims of this Islamic culture of death. And so these are the victims of Hamas. They're not the victims of Israel. And it is so sad to watch. And when we have the United Nations, again, anti-Semitic United Nations, playing directly into the hands, being sympathetic to these Islamic terrorists, you know, something has got to change. Something has got to change. And Benjamin Netanyahu has made this point over and over again. I have made this point over and over again. People who love truth have made this point over and over again. But when we're going up against what I call the Islamo-progressive axis of evil, we have people who hate truth. Their common enemy is truth. And truth is not just a thing. Truth is a person. And we're talking about the person specifically of Christ Jesus. They are anti-Semitic. They hate the Jews. They hate the Christians and the progressive left. Tags alongside them useful idiots, as Vladimir Lenin famously called communist sympathizers back during the Cold War, useful idiots all. This is Matt Barber in for Abe Hamilton. You're listening to the Hamilton Corner, and we are going to pick up right after the break. Don't go away.
The Iran deal is a bust. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Liberty Counsel applauds President Donald Trump for pulling out of the Iran deal. Iran has been contributing to the destabilization of four countries between Israel and itself. This includes funding militant factions inside of Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and Yemen. In addition, President Trump is demanding that Iran end its publicly declared quest to destroy Israel. This small but mighty country uncovered documents revealing Iran's efforts to create nuclear missiles. Reverting to sanctions is a good plan to stop a country determined to build nuclear bombs to destroy others. These sanctions will target the Iranian government, including critical sectors of its economy, such as energy and financial sectors. Companies have up to 6 months to shut down Iranian operations, but Trump specified the sanctions are not targeting the Iranian people, who are the regime's longest suffering victims. Stay informed at lc.org.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've seen God open up so many doors for us to help serve and love those who get affected by a natural disaster.
As the trees and the wind started crashing down around us, my wife was, of course, very diligently praying, you know, Lord, please be with us.
Very simply, we do it because God commands us to love others.
I see these volunteers all as a gift from God.
And I'm just grateful they're here, you know, helping out. It's a blessing.
If you're interested in becoming a part of what God's doing through 8 Days of Hope, please go to 8daysofhope.com, click on Get Involved, submit your email address.
I've noticed that whenever there's a time in my life when things might be a little gloomy, the number one thing that I can do is to go serve somebody.
And I would encourage anyone else to, it's worth it. Come out and do it next time if you didn't make it to this one. And the Father will really bless you in it.
Thank you so much for your prayers and volunteering with 8 Days of Hope.
When we face a crisis, our real self emerges. Tammy Jo Schultz was the pilot of a Southwest Airjet when an engine exploded and dropped 20,000 feet in 6 minutes before the plane landed safely. When the ordeal was over, she walked down the aisle hugging passengers. While everyone was making her a hero, her goal was to share her faith in Jesus Christ and tell people how great a God we have. It's easy to debate God's existence in class, but you'll handle a crisis better if you know Him. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
You wish you could stop thinking about it, but you can't. It never quite leaves your thoughts. Even in the joyful moments, it's there. The sadness, shame, and sorrow. You know you can't go on like this, so don't. Phone the International Helpline for Abortion Recovery at 866-482-LIFE. Your call is confidential, and you'll be talking with someone who's already been where you are and found the way out. 866-482-LIFE.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back. Glad to be joining you today. I'm Matt Barber in for Abe Hamilton. I am the co-founder and general counsel of Christian Civil Rights Watch. Christian Civil Rights Watch. You can check out our website at truecivilrights.org. We are going to continue our conversation here. Speaking kind of specifically, and this will dovetail nicely into the next topic, about what happened last week as Israel was celebrating the 70th anniversary of the reinstitution of Jerusalem, as or rather of the State of Israel, and was celebrating the opening of the United States Embassy in Jerusalem, we saw the usual suspects, Islamic terrorists, take advantage of that opportunity to try to attack the borders and kill innocent Israeli men, women, and children. Israel defended herself. Over 50 Hamas terrorists were killed, and I know the Israeli government released pictures and kind of dossiers on each of the, boy, that's kind of a bad word these days, isn't it, dossier, and showed the dossiers, the bios, and the pictures of 50 some odd of these terrorists. There were, as Hamas hoped for, innocent. Well, I wouldn't say innocent. They were there to cause trouble and riot as well. But bringing along even an 18-month-old baby who died evidently of natural causes during the event, but certainly the violence occurring around this child did not help in this child's death. But of course, the United Nations and the rest of the cultural Marxist world, parts of Europe and elsewhere, are blaming who? Israel for defending herself. And so we know that certainly Israel is the hotbed, is the focal point. The Holy Land is the focal point in the Middle East. It has been for thousands of years, as various people and peoples have tried to wipe out the Jewish peoples and the Jewish people and the Jewish state. Miraculously, that small group of people, they have traveled the world as nomads and have somehow survived. I say miraculously because great empires have come and gone in the wake. You know, the Roman Empire. Rome still exists, but the Roman Empire doesn't. The Fourth or the Third Reich, the Nazi Germans, they have come and gone. Yet the very Jewish people they tried to wipe out remain and are strong. And as the Bible says, have blessed the world with their technologies and an amazing contribution to the world for such a small percentage of individuals. But let's not kid ourselves and pretend that the threat of radical Islam, which we saw on display with Hamas attacking and rioting and trying to disrupt the celebration in Jerusalem and on the border there in Gaza, we mustn't kid ourselves that Israel alone is in danger here. We know indeed the entire world is, as we've seen this migration jihad just take over in parts of Europe, in Germany, in Great Britain, where now Muslims are praying in the streets and marching in the streets and demanding Sharia law and the attacks that occur with vans in Nice and elsewhere over and over again, where radical Islamists are following the dictates of their prophet Muhammad and trying to wipe out the infidel. Yet here in the United States, and even with our prior administration, of the Barack administration, good buddies and pals with the Muslim Brotherhood. I was doing some research the other day. I came across some information with the Clarion Project. And it talks about the Muslim Brotherhood's strategic plan for America. And this was plan was discovered by federal investigators in the home of Ismail al-Barassi. He was the founder of the Dar al-Haria Mosque in Falls Church, Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C. This document was discovered, which details the jihad plans and the kind of silent jihad or more of a passive jihad. Right here in the United States. We know that the violent jihadis are a threat, certainly. But I was reading through some of this document, for the Muslim Brotherhood document. A lot of people don't even know about this. And this is our former president, Barack Obama, put high-ranking Muslim Brotherhood officials in powerful positions of government. Many of them remain woven through, marbled through in our federal government, within the deep state and elsewhere, attempting to institute Sharia law and impose the Islamic caliphate across the world, and indeed right in the United States. So one of the quotes from their document: enablement of Islam in North America, meaning establishing an effective and stable Islamic movement led by the Muslim Brotherhood, which adopts Muslims' causes domestically and globally, and which works to expand the observant Muslim base, aims at unifying and directing Muslims' efforts, presents Islam as a civilization alternative, and supports the global Islamic State, right? We know the IS, the Islamic State. We know what a wonderful group of folks they are, wherever it is. Page 5 of the document says the movement must plan and struggle to obtain, quote, the keys and the tools of this process in to carry out this grand mission as a civilization jihadist responsibility. The process, it says on page 7, of settlement is a civilization jihadist process, with all the world, all the world's means. The Muslim Brotherhood must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers. We must possess a mastery of the art of coalitions, the art of absorption, and the principles of cooperation in which they have. And then they list a list of our organizations, they say, and the organizations of our friends. And so this is where the Muslim Brotherhood listed and lists all of their front groups in the United States. And note that many of these prominent organizations that we hear about, CARE, ISNA, ICNA, and others are named here. CARE, remember unindicted co-conspirators, CARE, the Muslim Brotherhood front group, are alive and well and jump on every opportunity when a radical Islamist kills a bunch of innocent Americans. They're the first to say, no, this is not what Islam is all about. But sadly, it is what Islam is all about. The jihad is at the center of what Islam is all about, and imposing the caliphate, a worldwide caliphate, is the primary purpose, other than bringing back the 12th Imam and so forth through nuclear holocaust as Iran wants to do. This is their goal, and the Quran and Muhammad himself stated as much. Quran Surah 9:5, it says, "When the sacred months are over, slay the idolaters wherever you find them, arrest them, besiege them, and lie in ambush everywhere for them." So this is their goal. This is what the goal of the Muslim Brotherhood, although they are very furtive in executing their goals. We see this migration jihad, immigration jihad is another word for it, where they just strengthen numbers. We see it in Dearborn, Michigan, in what I now call Michiganistan, where much of Detroit and Dearborn and so forth have been taken over completely. It's unrecognizable, just as parts of France and Germany and Great Britain are unrecognizable. It looks like you are in Pakistan. They have taken over the streets, and yes, despite the left's fit throwing to the contrary, there are no go zones in these places, in these states where the French police, the British police, they won't even go. And when they do go, we've all seen the videos where the Islamic rioters come in and attack and throw rocks and turn their cars over and light them on fire and so forth. So when it comes to the global scourge of Orthodox Islam, and it is a global scourge. And remember, I'm saying Orthodox Islam. This idea of the moderate Muslim is a myth. It is a myth. So the Western world, which Islamists expressly seek to remember to, quote, destroy from within, this is an upside down realm wherein the facts, objective facts, logic, proof, reason, all of these things that, I don't know, conservatives tend to kind of value, they have to yield to multiculturalist make-believe, to progressive propaganda, to this political correctness run amok. And as I've often said, political correctness is a barrier to truth and a pathway to tyranny. And so, boy, we're all Islamophobes if we actually point out what the Quran teaches, right? Faithful Muslims want to kill you, folks. And faithless progressives, they seem all too happy to help them, to help them along. Just look at the ongoing Muslim invasion of Europe, this migration jihad, this progressive paradise, this growing, this burgeoning multicultural dystopia. It's beginning to look an awful lot like hell on earth over there, isn't it? And with these rape gangs, these Muslim rape gangs going around and attacking Swedish women, French women, German women, raping them because it's their right, it's their duty, they say, in fact. So Islam, this is a fact, it's about control. The word itself means submission. Islam People say, oh, you're Islamophobe, you're anti-Muslim. No, it is a sociopolitical pseudo-religion, which is, it's based on the, again, incoherent scribblings of one man, the so-called Prophet Muhammad. And this man was a warring tyrant. And who this man, even as the Quran concedes, was a murderous misogynist. That means a woman hater. And he was a pedophile. Remember, he married a little girl at 6 and consummated the marriage when she was 9. And even the Hadith and their own writings acknowledge this. But they, and then you'll see the videos of Islamic mullahs and others defending that and actually saying, no, that Muslim men have a right to marry a 6-year-old, a 9-year-old, and to have to sexually assault them. So this is a book that the Quran is an unholy book that is loosely plagiarized from the Bible, from the Old and the New Testaments, and these are scriptures that, by contrast, we need to understand were seamlessly transcribed over the centuries by roughly 40 men under the direct and divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And again, no contradictions in the Holy Scriptures in the Bible. And prophecies continue to reveal themselves to come true. It's a historical document. There are metaphorical aspects to it and parables and so forth, but those are all clearly delineated. And so Muhammad taught, and again, the Quran stresses that a central tenet of Islam, and this is happening over in Israel, in the Middle East, and around the world, in Europe, and right here in the United States, the central tenet of Islam is to convert, it's to enslave, or it's to kill the infidel. And again, an infidel is anyone who is not Muslim or, depending on who's doing the killing, belongs to a different sect of Islam. We saw that in Iraq. We still see it with the Sunnis, constantly at war with different factions and so forth. So those who fall into that elusive, that perpetually mute category, we never hear from them. Those folks tagged the moderate Muslim, they're also infidels. They're bad Muslims. They're not faithful Muslims. And so according to the Quran, they're not Muslims at all. And so to be sure here, we need to understand the moderate Muslim is a contradiction in terms. It is intrinsically oxymoronic, where we know, for instance, moderate, and that would be liberal Christians, such as those who belong to, the United Methodists, the PCUSA and others, they embrace certain apostasies. And that's what they are, that run directly counter to the biblical teachings of Christianity, things found in Scripture. Groups like the PCUSA and others that embrace the pagan doctrines of homosexual sin, of child sacrifice by way of abortion, and so forth. Moderate Muslims, likewise, they embrace an apostate version of Islam. And this is a version of Islam that runs directly counter to the clear teachings of the Quran. So while devout followers of Christ, who is life, who is God incarnate, are like he is, are characteristically peaceful, devout followers of Muhammad, which, again, this child raping, he's dead. He did not rise again on the third day. They are characteristically, like he was, violent. And so where Muslim extremists, and that is faithful Muslims, kill people extremely, Christian extremists, as I've often said, and that is faithful Christians, they love people, including our enemies, including their enemies, extremely. That's what a Christian extremist is, somebody who loves even his enemy extremely, because the Christian extremist is following the teachings of Christ Jesus, who was indeed extreme in that he turned the world upside down and was single-handedly responsible for the greatest event that ever occurred on earth. And that is the opportunity for every man, woman, and child to be saved, to have eternal salvation. So, hey, I want to take your calls after the break. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. I want to get your thoughts on this. what's going on over in the Middle East, the continued conflict that has been ongoing for thousands of years, a conflict that will never be resolved until Christ returns. There's just no possible way. And the Bible is clear on that, and Scripture is clear on that. So again, give me a call, 888-589-8840. Love to have you weigh in. Again, Matt Barber in for Abe Hamilton. You are listening to the Hamilton Corner, and we're going to be right back.
Did you ever sit down to watch TV with your family, only to turn it off because of bad language? TV Guardian is technology that mutes foul language in real time while you're watching television. TV Guardian was born out of the desire to watch a movie with the family without exposing children or adults to coarse or foul language existing in most of today's entertainment. The closed caption feature within all programming is used to look ahead, detect the offensive words, and mute them. Using simple level filters and subfilters, TV Guardian can be used to filter content for your family. Religious references in mainstream programming are often offensive, using God's name in cursing, so TV Guardian offers filtering for those as well. More information is available at tvguardian.com/dish. tvguardian.com/dish.
American Family Radio is grateful for the support of TV Guardian.
Hi, I'm Will Addison.
And I'm Miki.
From Airing the Addisons on Urban Family Talk.
We'd like to invite you to the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference coming up August 17th and 18th.
The list of speakers is amazing. We have Ryan Baumberger of the Radiance Foundation, Dr. Clarence Shuler of Building Lasting Relationships, Abraham Hamilton III, Pastor Bert Harper and his wife Jan, Stacy Washington, Lonnie Poindexter, Pastor Dexter Sanders, and we'll be there too.
There's a direct attack by the enemy on marriage and family, and babies in the womb are treated like political footballs instead of life. We want to encourage and equip the body of Christ to fight for the restoration of the family. If we can get our families on track, a lot of society's problems could be solved. The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference is from Urban Family Communications, a division of the American Family Association. You can learn more and register at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. It's a parent's worst nightmare, a 30-year-old millennial who refuses to get a job, do the laundry, or leave the house. But for Mark and Christina Rotondo, it's not a nightmare, it's real life. The New York parents sued their unemployed grown son after he ignored an eviction notice. Michael Rotondo says he's been mistreated, upset because he was cut off from the family phone plan. It's like a Will Ferrell movie gone bad. A judge finally settled the bizarre family feud, ordering Pajama Boy to find somewhere else to live. This unfortunate story does lead one to wonder about the Rotondos' parenting skills. The good book admonishes moms and dads to raise up their children in the way they should go. Unfortunately for the Rotondos, their child did not go. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
And welcome back. Matt Barber again in today for Abe Hamilton. Abe will be back in the hot seat, I believe, next week, Monday, I think. I'm going to be joining you throughout the remainder of the week, and it is a privilege and honor to do so. Big shoes to fill with Abe Hamilton. Always love listening to his great sage wisdom and his insights on Scripture and truth and in our culture and the ongoing culture war. So quite a responsibility that he has given me, and I'm very grateful that he has done so. So talking about the myth of the moderate Muslim, taking your calls, 888-589-8840. I want to hear what you think about what we've discussed so far today. Pointing out how Islam explicitly requires a worldwide caliphate. And that by that they mean global domination and the violent imposition of Islamic Sharia law. And this is something that is completely at odds with, in direct conflict with, our constitutional republican form of government here in the United States. Neither the two twain shall meet. They cannot possibly coexist in harmony, because Sharia law is misogynistic. It degrades women. It treats women as chattel. It says that the right penalty for practitioners of homosexual sin is death. And that law, that Sharia law, we see it executed and carried out in Iran and elsewhere, Saudi Arabia and elsewhere, where homosexuals are executed for engaging their sinful proclivities. That's not the Christian way. We are to pray for people who are trapped in these types of sin lifestyles. But yet the progressive left will trip over themselves to defend Islam. It's incongruous. It makes no sense. Yet, as I always say, there's a common denominator. The old adage, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, is at play here. That's why you see the liberal left, partnering with radical Islam, because they have a common enemy, and that common enemy is Christ Jesus himself. And so the fact is not open for serious debate, and it's available for all to read, to hear, and tragically to experience, and that Islam, therefore, again, is inherently at odds with freedom, with democracy, and the United States Constitution. So while devout followers of Muhammad readily admit this reality, that they want to change the United States into an Islamic United States, or United States of Sharia, the suicidal left remains again hell bent with their head in the sand on tolerating itself and the rest of us. And when I say tolerating, I put that in air quotes, tolerating itself and the rest of us to death. That is their plan. Going to go now to the phone lines. Mary in Kansas. Mary, welcome to the Hamilton Corner.
Thank you. And I also want to thank you for bringing information to the public that we don't here on the other stations. I don't even listen to them. But my question, my opinion is that Obama doesn't even have the right to be called a past president of the United States, because he never was our president, really. He used that office to bring in unlawful acts against us, and I feel like he should have to pay the cost of that. As a citizen, he should be punished just like I would be if I was doing some of the stuff. But I do wish and pray that President Trump has protection, and that the Democrats that aren't really bad would finally stand up to the real left Democrats that are trying to pull us down to where all be swamped everywhere instead of the United States of America. And I, for one, do stand up for Israel and what their beliefs are and how they're trying to go by God's way, and I just wanted to say that, and also say that Mrs. Trump, I hope and pray that you are feeling better and that you're standing beside your husband, and I thank you for being our first lady.
Well, amen, and thanks for the call, Mary, and I am in agreement with you, and I think everyone is. We're praying for the first lady that she has a speedy recovery. Great point. President Obama, listen, he hates the United States of America. He always has. He thinks that the U.S. is an imperialistic nation that needs to be dumbed down to the lowest common denominator. He's a socialist. He's a cultural Marxist. He wants to take that shining city on the hill and lower the altitude a little bit and model the United States after a Euro-socialist, kind of his own Euro-socialist cultural Marxist self-image. And so he intentionally sabotaged our economy. He was sympathetic, no question about it. He's an anti-Semite, a raging anti-Semite who was sympathetic to Hamas, as unfortunately much of the Democrat Party now is revealing itself to be, and much of the larger progressive left. As I have heard it said and have often said, if there were no double standards, Democrats would have no standards at all. And isn't that the truth? Going now to Eddie in the great state of Oklahoma. I grew up, Eddie, just outside of Norman, Oklahoma, out there by Lake Thunderbird, Lake Draper, as a young kid. But welcome to the Hamilton Corner. What's on your mind, Eddie?
Hey, sir. It's great to speak to another Oklahoman.
Yes, sir.
I was, like I was telling you earlier, I'm in the military. I've been overseas, and I've seen some really gruesome stuff. Thing is, we cannot trust these people. You know, the thing is, if they come out and explain, yeah, I'm not part of that, but they don't. They hide. They come to our country, and they say that they want to be with like us. They don't. They're here to take us over, and I don't want to get too far into it, but thing is, if people would just listen to military people that's been over there and listen to the stories, we've been there. The thing is, we fought over there to keep those people from coming over here. And now we've got them coming over here. And the thing is, I'm telling you, me being in the military and seeing all this, I'm telling you, we're going to have a war right here in our own country. And people don't see it. I'm telling you, if you look, if you watch these people, being in Oklahoma, we've got, we've got some over here. Not a whole lot, but there are some. And, I've been to Edmond, Oklahoma, and I pulled up at this Arby's, and I was getting my money out, and there was a lady from Middle East, and I was about to pay my money, and she was staring at me, and she looked at me with hate. And if you've never been overseas to see that from somebody, I felt like I was back in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And it really made me think, man, really, you're looking at me like that, and I didn't do anything, but I have a uniform on. And if you really pay attention to these people, they try to get in your circle. They want to get to know you. I'm telling you, do not do that.
Yeah. Well, Eddie,
you are setting up your family. Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, no, thanks for the point. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Got a lot of callers here. Want to try to move on. But listen, thanks for your service. Really appreciate it. I understand your points as Christians, of course. And I'm going to talk about this some tomorrow. We pray. I pray for the Muslims. I don't hate even the Islamic jihadis. I hate evil. The Bible tells us to hate evil, and we hate the evil that they commit. We hate the evil inherent within the Quran, right? The Quran calls Allah himself the great deceiver, right? Well, the Bible refers to a deceiver, to a great deceiver as well, and that's Satan. So I don't know, juxtapose the two. So we know that inherently any so-called quasi-religion that calls for the death of everyone other than those who are adherents to the violent scribblings of a dead prophet Muhammad, that's inherently evil. But just because they're lost, just because they are deceived, laboring under deception, much like the rest of the world is, we need to remember that we too, as Christians, those who are regenerate, Bible-believing Christians who have had a true conversion experience and who have the Holy Spirit, that we were lost too. We're all in our flesh. We're all sinners. And I am no better as a human being in my fallen state than the Islamic jihadi. I pray for them. I pray for their salvation, and I'll talk about this some tomorrow. I'm going to talk about the fact that every Muslim will bow before Jesus. Scripture tells us every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That includes atheists, that includes Muslims, that includes every man, woman, and child who has lived, is alive, or ever will live. I'm going to go now to Jim in Houston, Texas. Jim, how are you, sir?
Yes, good. I agree completely with Eddie. I was a DOD civilian contractor in Iraq for 7 years, and the people do hate us. So one of the ways that we're hurting ourselves is by calling Islam a religion.
Yeah, no. As I pointed out earlier, it's a sociopolitical quasi-religion. It's about control.
And our Constitution outlaws ideologies that are antithetical against America, and so they should be outlawed.
Yeah, no, and now we have a Constitution, a United States Constitution that allows the free exercise of religion. That's all well and good, but guess what? Where your free exercise of religion comes into conflict with our enumerated constitutional rights, you know, the game off. you no longer, for instance, have a right to honor killings under the United States Constitution, despite the fact, and thanks for the call, Jim, despite the fact that that is inherent to Mohammedism, to Islam. You no longer have the right to treat women as chattel and beat them with impunity. Just, you know, as long as you don't muddy up their face, right, as we've heard the imams say over and over again, husbands can beat their wives. Just don't beat them to death. Don't break any bones and don't mess up their face. You don't want to. And I was listening to an imam the other day on television, Islamic television, talking about that actually it's a blessing to them that the Quran allows for husbands to beat their wives because of the way that they are instructed to beat them so that they don't mess up their beauty and that it keeps them in place and that women need discipline and therefore you know, the teachings of Muhammad are good and proper and pure and really, you know, we need to, the Sharia law, which allows for that, needs to trump and supersede our United States constitutional form of law, which is the end game of the migration jihad and the violent jihad that we experience right here on our own shore. It's going to go to Sherry in the great state of Illinois. Sherry, welcome to the Hamilton mm-hmm. Corner. What's on your mind?
Thank you. When you were talking about the different sects of Muslim belief.
Yeah, Sunnis, Sunnis and Shias, right. And so forth. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So is there? So if the Shias are the extreme sect, and they believe that anybody who doesn't believe like them is an infidel. Do they believe that the Sunnis are infidels also, and is there conflict between the two because they think they're not qualified or adherent to Allah or Muhammad or whoever?
Yeah. Absolutely, there is. Because they are, and they're not, but because they are in their minds more moderate, they, mm-hmm. as I mentioned earlier, then they are not. They are no Muslim at all, and therefore all
so
of the.
Do they fight within themselves? Do they try to bomb them and terrorize each them? Like,
oh sure,
like the
yeah, absolutely. That's what we saw occur. It's been happening throughout the Middle East for ages in Iraq, Kuwait. We see it in the conflicts between in Iran and Saudi Arabia. So the infighting between those who have different interpretations, and Sherry, thank you for the call. That is a great question. The infighting between those who have different interpretations of the ramblings of their prophet Muhammad and therefore carry out and live out their lives in different ways. Each sect, I think, refers and views the other as infidel, and therefore they can get around the teachings in the Quran and in the Hadith and elsewhere that say you're not supposed to kill one another. You're not supposed to kill other Muslims. Then they just say, well, you're not really a Muslim. You are no Muslim at all. Going to take one last call here. Paul in Louisiana. How are you, sir?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for this topic. I think it's really important, and thanks for the great job you're doing in covering it. One thing that I want to mention as a threat of training grounds here in America is the Muslim Student Association at college campuses. I'm here in Louisiana,
yeah.
And Louisiana State University, to become a club on a campus, you need to allow anybody to come into your meetings. Well,
yeah.
For 3 years, the Muslim Student Association lobbied for the right not to let anybody in, and they said,
yeah.
No. Now they are the only club on campus
yeah.
that can have their meetings closed doors.
Yeah, and Paul, thanks for the call. They certainly, Christians who want to have Christians lead, we've seen lawsuits around the country over and again that shut them down. Well, folks, this has been Matt Barber in for Abe Hamilton. Important, heavy discussion, but I think it's one we need to have. As a country, I will be joining you again tomorrow. You've been listening to the Hamilton Corner. God bless you. Keep your head up and your powder dry, folks, and keep fighting the good fights, because if we as Christians don't do it, then who will? God bless you. We'll see you again tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.